almost up until when they could finally document it, until some could finally prove that they were happening, mainstream science was insisting that these giant waves just weren't happening.
Right. And it was there have always been giant waves and giant storms and things like that. But what they didn't believe was that you could have a sea of maybe 20 or 25 feet, and out of that sea, you know, suddenly could come a very, very, you know, extremely large wave, say 2, 3, 4 times the size of the seas around it. So in other words, the science definition for a rogue wave is a wave that's twice as big as anything around it. And so there were always, you know, storms that were anticipated and giant waves within them. But the thing that it took them till 1995 to figure out was that you could have such a big wave in a smaller background sea. And the reason they were able to finally prove that was because an 85-foot wave hit an oil rig in the North Sea called the Draupner oil rig on New Year's Day, 1995, and it hit in 34-foot seas, and there was no denying it because there was a laser on the platform that measured it, and then, of course, the wave also hit the platform and did damage. And in the past, they had always heard, you know, rumors and ships that made it back would say, you know, we saw this giant wave, and everybody thought, well, you know, sure you did. You're trying to make excuses for the damage on the ship.
Right.
But yeah, there was no proof. And finally, in 1995, there was this proof.
Well, think about that then. Really, just within the last 15 years, it took proof. It took this laser proof that was not intended. It wasn't like they set this up to try to capture a rogue wave. It just happened that they had the system on this rig. And so they accidentally captured the proof of something which must have already been happening for millions of years and
exactly.
was still being doubted by some people out there who kept saying, no, this is not happening.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and what you said was so true. It's that we live on a planet that's largely covered by ocean. I mean, it's 71% by surface area, but even by volume, it's even more. And there are so many mysteries and so many things we don't understand, and it's very difficult to do studies in the ocean, particularly the deep ocean, and also some of the most extreme parts, you know, say the North Sea in a storm. You know, nobody wants to really be out there measuring
right.
the sea at that time.
Right.
As one scientist said to me, you know, people aren't out there in the most extreme storms, very sensibly so.
Right. It would be like studying volcanoes by diving
yeah.
into one. I mean,
exactly.
it's just, I mean, and yet, the other part of you mentioned this 85-foot wave that had been measured by an oil rig, but there have been many sea captains, using their, you know, decades of experience on the ocean to determine that they had encountered 100-foot waves, that these 100-foot monsters had been out there the whole time, and we did until we were able to finally prove that they exist. Nobody thought those were happening either.
Right, and I mean, Ernest Shackleton, you know, the famous polar explorer, one of the greatest explorers in history, encountered a rogue wave that was estimated to be about 100 feet. And, you know, he's not a guy who's given to hysterical exaggeration.
No.
He saw this thing at night in the Southern Ocean, and he thought it was clouds. You know, he thought it was clouds in the sky or some weird thing with the moon. And it's like, oh, you know, that a moment must be awfully chilling when you realize that thing on the horizon is not the moon.
Right.
You know,
it's a wave
out there coming at you. Yeah.
And what I love about what you write about here in The Wave, you hear stories about this guy. Was it the Ramapo back in 1933?
Yes.
Right. This guy who, while he's standing there, just happens to have the presence of mind.
Yeah.
He's on a, what was one of the early aircraft carriers, wasn't it? The Ramapo?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's already, you know, it's a big, flat, seemingly vulnerable ship out there in the middle of the ocean. And a wave comes and he does something which I can't even conceive of. And that is he decides at this moment, as this giant wave is coming, he decides to do some trigonometry.
Yeah.
Right? He does some calculations. And how big was the wave that the Ramapo encountered in 1933?
It was 112 feet by his calculations. And because he was standing in a place where he was able to see the bridge and the bottom of the wave, the trough of the wave, and he was so methodical about how he did it, it was more or less accepted by science, this measurement, and, you know, it was a wave that was, you know, more than 2.5 times bigger than the seas around it. Yet it's still, even though people see that as, you know, a very clear documentation of a freak wave, it really was the Dropner oil rig incident that got scientists to sit up in their chairs, because that was recorded by a laser. And that
well, there you go.
Came a little later.